Of Phoenix, just close to the Anthem area. The town we are looking at specifically is called Desert Hills. And if you know where Anthem is on the map, it's right just south of Anthem, right where the Interstate 17 meets the Carefree Highway, if you look at a big map on Phoenix. And right now, there's currently 16,000 people in that area, and they are projecting it by the year 2030, just a few years away, for it to house over 100,000 people. And already you drive up through that area, there's homes being built left and right. There's a brand new hospital that's been built, Sonoran Health Hospital, off of the interstate. And right now it kind of looks out of place, to be honest with you. It's in the middle of a desert. There's nothing around it. And then hospital, but they are all the area around it is for sale for medical offices. And that's the main attraction where so many people are coming to that area. A lot of medical research, a lot of medical facilities going in there. And we just can't help but feel like if so much money and time and effort are being spent into having a place where people can come and learn and get their physical needs met, how much more does there need to be a place where people can come, hear the Word of God, and get their spiritual needs met and meet the great physician? And so, as Pastor mentioned, we've been on the staff at North Valley Baptist Church in Phoenix for the past 4 years. We were there as interns, and then the last Sunday in August, they had a sending out service for us. And so it was a bittersweet time when you invest in people, and more so they invest in you. You develop those relationships, but it's good to have a good sending church and a good church to partner with. And we've been on the road now a little over a month, and the Lord's been so good to us. We are at right now a third, right at a third of the monthly goal of what we need to get to the area to support our family and support the church there. And so our prayer is that we can raise our support in 12 months' time and move to that area in the fall of next year and hit the ground running. Tonight in the evening service, Lord willing, show a video that will kind of tell you our story, kind of tell you my testimony, my wife's testimony, and also the testimony of the area of Desert Hills. And it's amazing to see how sovereign our God is and how He works in areas, even when we're not aware of it, how He's worked in my life, how He's worked in my wife's life, how He worked in that area, all leading us to these next 12 months to plant a church. And so look forward to sharing you exactly what all God is doing, sharing some more with you tonight about some Bible studies that we've already been able to hold up in that area. Already have been able to meet some contacts and have people coming that are interested and excited about a church coming to their area. And so I'm looking forward to being with you here today. Well, in Sunday School Hour, I'd like just to share a simple message from God's Word from you, and so to you. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. A familiar passage we'll look at this morning. Normally, we look at this passage around April or March, perhaps around Easter time. And the passage we're looking at, we're in this specific Gospel of Mark. When you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all record different events about the life of Christ. They record His ministry. All four Gospels record His teaching and preaching. All four record miracles that He performed. All four Gospels record His crucifixion and His trial and His resurrection. But we're looking at Mark's Gospel this morning because I want us to see in chapter 16, Mark's is the only Gospel that records the conversation that took place on the way to the tomb. And so that's what I want to look at this morning, just share a simple principle with you and hope it'll be a help to you today. Mark chapter 16, I want us to read the first three verses. Or the Bible says in verse number 1, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our Sunday school time today. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You for the opportunity to gather in Your house. Thank You already for the good time of singing. And Lord, we just pray that You would take this time, that You would use Your Word, that You would speak to our hearts and encourage us to keep walking by faith, to keep living by faith, that You would stretch us and increase our faith during this time. And we'll give You the praise for it. And we pray these things through Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life is full of questions. And some questions are rather easy to answer, such as what time did the church Sunday school start this morning? 9:30, and you were in your place. Thank you for being here. Some questions have little importance on the grand scheme of things, such as, will my socks match? What color shirt will I wear today? Thankfully, I'm just glad that you wore a shirt. Thank you so much. But truthfully, in the grand scheme of things, those don't mean very much importance. Some questions are rather difficult to answer. For me in school, that was any kind of math question. I liked all the subjects. I liked history. I'm a big history guy. I liked science and setting stuff on fire. I liked lunch. When it came time to math, those always made my mind hurt. Some questions have a greater importance in the grand scheme of things, such as when you look in your mirror and you see that police officer is flashing his lights. That might be a good question to ask. Why is he doing that, and should I act accordingly? And some questions are just downright annoying. You know, many parents go through this stage with their ever-inquisitive toddlers. We have a 2-year-old, and we're just getting into that stage right now where she's asking you a lot of questions, or maybe it's just the same question that's asked over and over again. A recent survey revealed that on average, a mother will field 288 questions per day. And all the mothers are shaking their head. Yes, they understand that. That's true. That's on average per day, 288 questions. There are times when you field a great number of questions, and there are times when you may only field one question, but the question is of great importance and difficulty in and of itself. And that's the case with the ladies who made their journey to the tomb in our text. Mark writes here, and he says that this caravan consisted of three ladies who were all followers of Jesus. He says they were Mary Magdalene, and then Mary, the mother of James, and then the third lady named Salome. And you may be the most familiar with Mary Magdalene. In fact, Scripture records the most about her rather than the other two ladies. And Luke chapter 8 and verse 2 tells us that this Mary first met Jesus when he cast 7 demons out of her. He changed her life from that day. And since that day forward, she left what she was doing and started following Christ. Concerning the other Mary, the Bible doesn't record much about her except giving her that name. And other references, she's referred to as the other Mary. She is the mother of one of Jesus' disciples and called James the Less. I always think, how would you like to be a part of that family? You have the other Mary and you have the son named James the Less. I mean, for whatever reason, that's how Scripture chose to record these folks for us. And then most believe that this third woman, Salome, to be the mother of James and John, the same lady who requested that her son sit beside Christ in his kingdom. So all these ladies followed Christ throughout his earthly ministry, and it was their ministry to provide for his physical needs. Especially when you read Mark's gospel, it just seems like everywhere you read, there was somebody that was needing Jesus to help them. There was everywhere Jesus looked, there was somebody that wanted him to heal them, or somebody that wanted to ask him a question, or somebody that needed his teaching and instruction. And Jesus went from one place to the next and helped one person after another, and he just simply did not have a place to stay or have time to invest in food there. And so it was these ladies' ministry to minister to the Lord. And they followed Christ and met his physical needs there. And this morning, very briefly, I'd just like to share with you 3 lessons about these ladies' lives that can happen when you live a life of faith. 3 lessons about a life of faith. And first of all, this morning, I'd like us to see that a life of faith presents questions without an answer. A life of faith presents questions without an answer. Now, concerning the conversation that took place here in verse number 3, we're only given a few words. But when we consider the context and we try to place ourselves in these ladies' shoes and think of the areas that they've been and what they've gone through, it's very easy to understand why there's only a few words. Both this text and Luke's gospel record that it was very early in the morning. When you compare it to John's gospel, he writes that Mary left for the tomb while it was yet dark. These ladies, I relate to these ladies. The early time in the morning is just not a good time for conversation for me. I need a couple cups of coffee. I need to splash some water on my face. I need to wake up a little bit. I would not be considered a very early, early morning person. But think not only of the hour of their journey, but also consider what these ladies have experienced prior to this here in chapter 16. You got your Bibles there. If you will, look back a page or look up a couple of verses at chapter 15 and verse number 40. Verse 40 says, "There were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome. So there's those three ladies again that were mentioned in chapter 16, and they are watching something afar off. And in verse 47, the last verse of the chapter, it says, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. So we have to ask the question, what is it that these ladies were watching afar off? It's the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And the time where all the other of Jesus' disciples, save John, had fled and did not follow him to the cross, these ladies were faithful and watched Jesus die and hang upon that cross. And then after everybody left, they watched as his body was taken down. And verse 47 says they watched and followed him to the tomb and beheld where his body was laid. And so if nothing else, these ladies simply are exhausted from the 24 to 48 hours that they've previously experienced. They're followers of Jesus. They're with that group that walks through Jerusalem, and everybody is shouting out Hosanna and is so glad that Jesus Christ came. And then they witness as that same group of people turn against Jesus and cry out, crucify him. And they watch as that same group of people crucify Jesus, and they watch as he hangs there and dies for the sin of the world, for your sin and for my sin. Then they watch as his body is taken down and prepared, and they watch as he's placed in the grave. Very simply put, these ladies are, if nothing else, the conversation was minimal because they've had a whirlwind last couple of hours, and they are no doubt exhausted. But considering their circumstances, I want us to also consider their mindset as they ask this question, who shall roll us away the stone? These ladies have been with Jesus, as we mentioned, since the beginning stages of his ministry. They followed him ever since. They've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And we're not told specifically if they were present in John chapter 11, but by now, no doubt, they are aware of a time where Jesus himself stood in a similar situation. When Jesus himself stood before a tomb with a great stone in front of it. John chapter 11, I'm referring to the tomb of his friend Lazarus. And in that moment, when Jesus stood in front of that tomb and he faced that giant stone, he knew exactly what to do. And not just that time, but you'll find about the life of Jesus that every time that Jesus had a question or was faced with a difficult question, Jesus knew how to answer every single time without deliberation and without hesitation. Right. I mean, when you read the Gospels, sometimes when I read it, I can't help but think, how in the world can anybody know the answer to some of those questions that he's asked? And that's the point of that. The people were coming to Jesus, the religious leaders, trying to trip him up and trying to stump him. For example, Jesus, here is a man who was born blind. Jesus, who sinned? Whose fault is it that this man is born blind? Is it this man? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? How is anyone supposed to know the answer to that question? Or Jesus, here's a woman who was married to a husband, and her husband passed away. And as tradition is, she was given to be the wife of his brother, and he passed away. So she was given to the next brother, and so forth. And all seven brothers were married to her, and all seven brothers passed away before she did. Jesus, when she reaches heaven, whose wife will she be? When you read some of the questions, you can't help but think, how in the world should anybody know the answer to that question? It's a difficult, impossible question. But every single time, Jesus knew what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. But here, in Mark chapter 16, the situation is different. Here, Jesus is not physically present with them. And a life of faith presents questions without an answer. And sometimes what can make these questions even more difficult is that it appears we are facing the obstacle alone. Now, I want to pause here and say, you are never alone if you're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad you can come to a place like this and be around Christian brothers and be around Christian sisters. But there are some circumstances we go through in life that, yes, we may sit next to a brother across the pew, or we may sit next to a sister, but they just aren't going through the same situation that I'm presently going through. This stone that I'm facing, I'm trying to live by faith. I'm trying to follow Jesus Christ. I want to live a life that's pleasing to him, but I've got this great stone in front of me, and I just don't know how to get through it. And it's not the same stone that this person faces. It's not the same stone that my pastor's facing. What do I do when I face a great stone? That was just the obstacle they knew about, too, the stone. Matthew records that that the religious leaders who persecuted Jesus, that after Jesus was buried, they went to Pilate and requested that a watch be placed in front of the tomb. So now not only did these ladies have a stone to move, before they could get to the stone, they had soldiers to get through. Men who were trained with weapons, men who were skillful warriors. And not only did they have soldiers to get through, the stone also had the official Roman seal across it. So these ladies are facing a giant stone. They're elderly in their age, as they have grown men who are grown sons who are following Jesus. They don't have the strength to move the stone. They don't have the skill to fight the soldiers. They don't have the authority to break the seal. And yet all that lies in front of them as they're on their way to the way to the tomb. A life of faith will present questions without an answer, obstacles where you may feel you're facing them alone, or you may feel you are no match for the opposition. In times like these, what are we to do? Second lesson I like us to see is that despite the opposition, despite the stone, a life of faith follows Christ without hesitation. A life of faith will present some questions without an answer, but a life of faith follows Christ without hesitation. Everything that we've talked about, considered prior to this morning, the amazing thing to me is, despite the soldiers, despite the stone, despite their question, the amazing thing is, in spite the incredibly difficult question, these ladies still went to the tomb. They did not wait for an answer. As far as the scripture indicates, they did not even have an answer among them by the time they got there. But even though they did not have an answer, it did not stop them from going to the tomb. Even though they talked among themselves and did not quite know who would remove the stone, verse number 1 at the end of it says they went that they might come and anoint him. See, the custom of this day was that after a death, a body would be washed and then a mixture of spices applied to it for preservation and to fend off the smell of decomposition. And Luke's gospel tells us that after they watched where Jesus' body was placed, they hurried back to where they were staying to prepare those spices, but they ran out of time because the Sabbath was approaching. So they observed the Sabbath, and now they are coming back to finish the job and anoint the body of the Lord Jesus and honor Him in that way. What will keep you going through trials and obstacles? I know it's a play on words, but there's a principle here for us this morning. The ladies went to the tomb, despite the question, because they wanted to honor the one who was behind the stone. What will keep you going through trials and obstacles, even though you face a giant obstacle, even though you face a giant stone? It's having a mindset and a determination to honor the one who is behind and in control of your stone. It's having faith that, boy, this may be unexpected. Boy, maybe my world's turned upside down, but boy, I know what Jesus Christ has done for me. Maybe you can place yourself in a similar situation as Mary Magdalene. Maybe you can recall a time in your life when you were lost in sin and were in control by the devil and the world, and the time when you met Jesus Christ and He changed your life forever. And maybe you can look back and say, boy, I know where I was and I know where I am now, and I don't know necessarily how I'm going to get through this stone, but I know what Jesus has done for me, and therefore I'm going to honor Him. Right. When you read the scriptures about people who exhibited great kinds of faith and people who God used tremendously, you'll find that they were ordinary people. You find that they had faults and characteristics. They had strong personalities. They made mistakes. But you'll find that all of them that God used and they exhibited great faith, they had two common denominators about them. The first being, they all had a question without an answer. They all faced a stone in their life. Now, we don't have time this morning, but if you were to go and to read Hebrews chapter 11, you would find a long list of different people, and you would find people who exhibited great faith. Some call that the Hall of Faith, or people who lived their lives by faith. And as verse 6 of that chapter tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You would find people such as Noah in verse number 7 of chapter 11 that says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He was warned of God of things that he had not seen yet. Think of what happened in Noah's day. Noah, what are you doing there? Well, I'm building a boat. Oh, man, that's great. Why are you building a boat? Because God said it's going to rain. God said he's going to destroy the world. It's going to be a lot of water. Noah, what's rain? I don't know. I've never seen it before. Noah, why are you building a boat? Because God said to do it. How about Abraham? Abraham, verse number 8 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Husbands, how would you like to have that conversation with your life, with your wife that morning? Honey, we need you to wake up. Let's get the coffee pot brewing there. We need you to pack everything up. We're going on a trip. And she says, all right, well, how long are we going to be gone? How long are we going to be gone for? I need to know how many shoes I need to bring. I want to have a shoe for the day, an occasion there, an outfit. And Abraham says, I don't know. He says, just pack them all. Pack them all up. He says, all right, well, where exactly are we going? I don't know. Well, why are we going? Because God told me to do so. God who? The God that spoke to me last night. Never spoke to me before, but I know he spoke to me last night. Well, what does this God look like? Is he a stone over here? Is he a tree over here? I don't know. I've never seen him before. So why? Let me get this right, Abraham. We don't know where we're going. We don't know how long we're going to be there. And we're doing this because a God that you've never seen before and never spoke to you before until last night told you to do so? Yes, that's right. So why exactly are we doing this? Because God told me to do so. Every person in that chapter that you look at are people in the scriptures who exhibited great faith and God used tremendously. They all faced a difficult question, a question without an answer, an obstacle, a stone in their life. You could go on in that chapter to read about Sarah. You could go on to read about Moses, who esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses, look at your leadership. Look at where you were born. Look at where you were raised. You have the riches of Egypt. You have the crown. You have the palace there. You're giving that up for what Christ has to offer you. What does he have to offer you? I'm not sure yet, but I know it's greater than what Egypt has to offer. Right. You think of Rahab. It says, by faith in Hebrews 11, 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed when she had received the spies with peace. Walls of Jericho, so high and so thick that people were living in the walls. You think of the people of Jericho that would come to Rahab and say, Rahab, why are you going to side with this God? Oh, why are you going to side with these people? Look at our walls. Who has ever been able to get past our walls? Who has ever been able to break down our walls? How are they going to do it? Look, they're just marching around in a circle. They're not even attacking us. They're not even throwing things at us. They're not even shooting things at us. How are they going to get past our walls? And Rahab would say, I'm not sure, but I'm going to trust God. In verse 30 of Hebrews 11, it said, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The scripture teaches us that people who lived a life by faith faced a question without an answer. And then the second common denominator about their lives is that they faced their stone, they faced their obstacle, not because they knew how they would get through it, not because they knew how they would get past it, but because they believed in their heart that when they got through it, there would be a joy waiting them behind it. You think of all those people. You think of Abraham. You think of Moses. You think of Rahab. Aren't you glad Rahab sided with the Lord? You go on and read the first part of Matthew. It's amazing how she is now a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ because she put her faith in God. You think of all these people. They did not know how they would get through their stone, but they believed that when they got through it, there would be a joy and a reward in being obedient to God and trusting Him. The faith of these ladies in chapter 16, it led them to the tomb, but it led them to enter inside the tomb. And verse 4 says, when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away because it was very great, and entering into the sepulcher, they had to step inside the sepulcher. I know this is an elementary truth, but please don't miss this principle just because it's a simple truth. The ladies were able to step inside the tomb because they first went to the tomb. Amen. All the disciples, save for Peter and save for John, they did not go to the tomb. They did not see inside the tomb because they did not bother to go. And when you read the rest of the scripture there, Jesus was not too happy with their lack of faith. If you look down in chapter 16 and Look at verse number 14. It says, verse 14, afterward he, being Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Scripture is pretty clear in the words that Jesus used. He appears before them. He upbraids them with their unbelief, their hardness of heart. Guys, I told you I was coming to Jerusalem. I told you I would die. I told you I would rise again the third day. I sent a people back to tell you, hey, the tomb's empty, but yet you still wouldn't go. They missed seeing the tomb for themselves because they didn't make the effort to go. And I want to ask this morning, how many times do we personally miss personally experiencing a work of God for ourselves because we're caught up on who's going to move my stone? How many times do we miss a miracle? How many times do we have an opportunity to see God move something or see God work tremendously in our lives, but in order to do so, it's going to cause us to face an obstacle and face a stone. And so instead of trusting Him and walking by faith, we kind of get sidetracked or we kind of quit moving forward or kind of tend to go in a different direction. And how many times does God present us an opportunity and an opportunity for Him to reach down and do something special, and we get to see it, and it can be a testimony, a monument that we can teach our children to. In order to do so, we've got to keep going and trust that when we get behind the stone, there'll be a great joy behind it. They'll never see the joy behind the stone if you only stop at the stone. You'll never see the joy behind the stone if you first stop, only stop at the stone. I don't know when that joy may be. I don't know if it'll be next week. I don't know if it'll be next month, next year, when we get to heaven. All through the scriptures, in Hebrews 11, it was for different times and different people's lives. But God honored those who lived by faith. A life of faith will present questions without an answer. A life of faith follows without hesitation. And the last lesson I'd like us to see quickly this morning is that a life of faith lives without regret. A life of faith lives without regret. When you live a life of faith, you get to experience that which a lack of faith does not. You know, the Bible records many people follow Christ, but some who were given the opportunity to stand and live by faith chose not to. And then the Bible records that they later regretted it. Judas regretted his betrayal and returned the money. Peter regretted his denial and wept bitterly. What about the ladies that went to the tomb? What about Mary? Well, one more verse this morning. If you'll look down at verse number 9 of chapter 16. Verse 9 says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Peter preached at Pentecost. John leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. James was included on the Mount of Transfiguration. Apostle Paul wrote a majority of the New Testament. But Jesus reserves this special honor. The first person he appears to after in his resurrected form is Mary Magdalene. You say, well, what happened to the other two ladies? Well, when you compare Scripture with Scripture, they had already gone back from away from the tomb prior to this, and Mary is now returning from going to get Peter and John. And I don't want you to miss the principle here. Mary, this lady Mary, she followed Jesus ever since the day he changed her life. Luke chapter 8, verse 2, he cast 7 demons out of her. And from that time forward, she said, boy, I know how Jesus changed my life. And I'm going to give of what I can. I'm going to do what I can. Give him my talents. Give him my time. Give him my treasures to be a blessing and honor him because he's changed my life. And has given her whole life to serve the Lord. Followed Christ to the cross while his other disciples fled. Stayed with Christ and followed him to the tomb and watched as his body was being buried. And then followed Christ and came back to the tomb here to honor him and give him the proper burial. Everywhere you see Mary Magdalene, she is being faithful to follow Jesus Christ. And here he honors her faith. I guarantee you that when she got to the tomb, she did not regret living by faith and following Christ. Not only did you experience that which a lack of faith does not, but then your experiences compel you to tell others about them. And verse 10 tells us that Mary's very first reaction to meeting the resurrected Christ was to go and tell somebody else what she's seen. She goes to tell the other disciples, and you will never regret telling somebody what you've seen Christ do with your own eyes. You know, leaving and being on the road on deputation, and starting a church and traveling around, it poses a lot of questions. Poses a lot of questions without an answer. We're going through this right now personally ourselves. It's very easy to kind of stay in our comfort zone. And maybe, Lord willing, tonight we'll speak on that a little bit about getting out of our comfort zone. But about four years ago, we came to North Valley here in Phoenix. And so thankful for the time there. We're kind of a place of comfort, if you will. We're able to be in a security, be in a house there. I know where our food's going to come from. I know where we're going to live. And then God says, all right, we got a church that we want you to start, so you're going to need to go up in this direction and leave everything that you know and leave behind your comfort, leave behind your security. And boy, that raises a lot of questions. Where are we going to meet? Where are we going to stay? How are we going to pay for all this? How am I going to put food in my kids' mouths? And how am I going to provide for my wife? I still want to be a good husband and be that stronghold in her life. Certain things that maybe I shouldn't think about, but I just want to. I'm one of those guys that wants to have all my ducks in a row, if you will, and wants to know where everything's going to come from and wants to have everything planned out. And we've faced some questions without an answer, but what we've been able to find so far and amazingly in our month on the road is that when we're just faithful to know to do what we know to do today, God provides and He takes care of tomorrow. We were looking at getting another vehicle prior to my second child being born. We knew we were going to need another vehicle, especially for the road and travel. We had one car at the time in our family. We had a Toyota Corolla. All four tires, we're missing its hubcaps. I don't know what's up with a Corolla, but I pass a lot of Corollas in Phoenix, and none of them have hubcaps. I don't know what the deal is. People are targeting Corollas. I don't know, but it's not a giant car. They call it a compact car. It's compact for sure. You got to sit like this in the back row. After my son was born, we had my mother, my mother-in-law came in, and we didn't even have room for them in the back. We had the two car seats in the back, and my mother-in-law and mother had to squeeze in the middle seat there. And we just kept thinking, man, we can barely fit our family in this vehicle. How are we going to get luggage? How are we going to get display stuff? How are we going to travel? And so we were looking at different cars that maybe we could purchase and looking at things that we could afford and maybe at least put down a good down payment. And we're looking specifically at a Dodge Journey. That's just what we saw that was available, that what we might be able to afford. And I just mentioned to my pastor, hey, we're going to take a day here. We got some time here. My wife and I are going to go look at a car and kind of explain the situation. And Pastor Loveless said, brother, I don't know if I'd do that. He said, go look at it, but I wouldn't pull the trigger on anything if I were you. And I said, really? He said, yeah, there's a family in our church and has approached me that it wants to be a blessing to you and wants to provide a vehicle for you. And I said, wow, amen. And so that next week, a family in our church pulled up. We didn't tell anybody what vehicle we were looking at. We didn't tell anybody it was a Dodge. Didn't tell anybody it was a Journey. There's a Dodge Journey that pulls up in our driveway with a giant bow on top of it. And the family gets out of the car and says, we know your situation. We know you're going to need some more space. We still had some payments on the car, but we sold some stuff to pay off the car in full. Here's the title, and signed it over to us and gave us the keys free of charge. Every time we get in the car to go to a place to drive, yesterday when we got in the car to drive over to Tucson, we get to go across country. Every time I put my hands on the steering wheel, yes, I'm reminded, boy, I don't know quite where we're going to meet yet. I don't know where we're going to live yet. I've got some questions that don't have an answer to, but I can look back and say, boy, just because I was trying to be faithful to do what I knew was to do was right, I can look back and see how God has provided, and I don't have to worry about tomorrow because I know He's already got it provided for. I can use that as a chance to teach my kids, hey kids, do you know why we're in this vehicle? Do you know why we get to drive? Because God provided it for us. It's, by the way, it's not because we deserve it. It's not because I'm special. It's not because I deserve anything. I'm not trying to brag on me. I'm just trying to brag on our God to you this morning and tell you, when you live a life of faith, you will not regret it. The events that transpired at the tomb that morning would change history forever. The ladies went and they found the angel had rolled away the stone, and they saw that the tomb was empty. And what they saw and the message they spread helped expand Christianity to this day, but it should also encourage those who profess to know Christ. When you actively seek to follow Christ, don't be surprised when a great stone stands in your way, when a great obstacle lies before you. God may choose to remove your stone, or He may give you the grace to get through it, but one thing is for certain, it is never His desire that we cease from following Him just because a stone stands in our way. You may face a stone today. You may face it this week. You may not have any in front of you. Maybe one down the road. I'd encourage you, remember this principle. When you face a stone, it's never His desire that we cease from following Him just because we come across a stone. If any of that time, that's the time we need to say, Lord, give us Your grace. Lord, it'd be great if You would remove the stone. We'd be thankful. But Lord, if You choose not to, please give us the grace to keep going on. And when you live a life of faith, I promise you will not regret it. God, help us to be a church family in this local church, in our local church in Phoenix, to be a people who walk by faith and not by sight. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I do thank You for Your word. I do thank You for the lessons and the lives of individuals that we can be encouraged by. They weren't perfect people in any sense of the form. They had their flaws about them, and they're normal, just like we are, just like we have our flaws. Lord, You don't ask us to be perfect. You don't ask us even to have great talent or great skill. You just ask us to have a faith of a child, a faith of a grain of mustard seed, that You will remove mountains, that You'll move stones. So, Lord, I pray for that individual. I pray for that family. I pray for others who are facing a stone right now, who are close to encountering one and may not even know it yet, but You do. Lord, I pray that You would encourage them to not quit, to not be discouraged, but rather to keep their eyes focused on You, to refocus and keep their eyes on You, to live a life that honors the one who's behind the stone. And Lord, I pray You give them the grace, that You give us the grace to live a life that's pleasing to You, to live a life by faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mitchell. I'm sure many of us can identify with these stones being in the way, amen, and wanting to find out how God's going to get us past that, amen. But behind the stone, there's a blessing, and there's some encouragement back there. So, amen, don't stop following just because of the stone that's in the way. Do what these ladies did. Trust the Lord, amen. We're going to have a break, and we're going to ask God's blessing on the refreshments that are back next door. Don't forget, after the morning service, there will be a time of meet and greet with our guests that are with us for today. If you could, please reserve that area for just the visitors and the folks that will be back there. That will be across in the fellowship hall, but that will be immediately after the morning service. But right now, that area is free. You can go back and fellowship there, but they will be getting set up as soon as the fellowship part is done, and so we'll look forward to that. Mitchell Crittenden will be here to answer questions. I'll let him get out into the foyer area there by his display. Amen. We do have Jesse's mother, Evelyn Taylor, here with us. Amen. And so we're looking forward to seeing some guests. If someone happens to come in and takes your pew, don't get upset. Don't get angry. Praise God that they're here. Amen. And trust God to work in a marvelous way this morning. Let's go ahead and ask God's blessing on the refreshments. Amen. You let God speak to your heart throughout the day. Father, thank You once again for Mitchell Crittenden and the message that he brought to us this morning. And God, a life of faith will definitely present questions without answers. Help us to continue to follow without hesitation the direction that You would have us to go so that we can live a life without regrets. Bless now the refreshments that are next door. Thank You for those that prepared them and bought them. Lord, bless now the morning service as well. We pray it may be a blessing and encouragement to us. Thank You for the guests, visitors that we have, and those that are on their way. Give us a prosperous time now in the next few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You are dismissed. Hello, Miss Lilia.